You are listening to the Alouettes Flight Deck, a proud member of the Canadian Football Podcast Network.
All right, folks, we've been cleared for takeoff.
Give me a hell, give me a yell. Stand up right now and give me a hell, give me a yell. Stand up right now, get ready to go. She ain't moving slow, she's taking control. Pushing the pedal through the floor. I'm begging for more, you better hold on tight.
And welcome to the Alouettes Flight Deck, podcast dedicated to Montreal Alouettes football. I'm Tim Capper, along with Cliffy D. Welcome to what we're hoping to is one of many off-season specials. We thought we were done for 2017, Cliff. Nope, that's not the case.
No, I hate to borrow this term, but we had to reach into the matrix and pull out another podcast for 2017.
I wasn't too sure about that red pill and blue pill thing. I took the blue pill. I thought I was taking a NyQuil, so I went to go take a nap.
They were M&Ms.
They were little gelatin thingamabobs, man. I was like, is this Viagra? Is the red one Viagra or some? Yeah, as I said, I thought I was taking NyQuil. ZQL, whatever it's called. Falling asleep. We do have a little bit to talk about. Obviously, we now have a new head coach for the Montreal Alouettes, and it is former Green Bay head coach Mike Sherman, and that was one hell of a surprise. It came out of nowhere, but it's very interesting to hear about the actual conversation that they had during the press conference, which we'll talk about. We had a trade and the schedule, and that's where we're going to start with first, I think, Cliff. Might as well, because... according to the guys over at CFLDB, if you haven't gone there, by the way, an amazing site when it comes to checking out stats and stuff for the league, besides us and getting our information directly from the guy himself, Steve Daniel, they projected that this was probably the second, the release date was the second earliest in league history. I think they said 1982 was done, I think, just right after Grey Cup, which is that's crazy in itself. But either way, great Christmas present, because it's usually a gift around February, mm-hmm. and Valentine's Day, right? So
yeah, and it's kind of funny because the one thing that's more annoying than the is it June yet. Would be, hey, when's the schedule coming out? Hey, CFL, can we get that schedule now? And it would continue pretty much from Christmas time, or not even. As soon as the Grey Cup was finished, the first things you'd see right away from CFL Twitter were, is it June yet? When's the schedule coming out? You know bloody well the schedule comes out in February every year. But finally this year, and they had rumored it, there was rumors floating around during Grey Cup weekend that the schedule was going to be released a lot sooner. And again, I'm very much of the opinion, well, I'll believe it when I see it. But lo and behold, it came out in December and people were excited now because now you can start putting in those vacation plans at uh-huh. work. You can start planning those road trips. You can start getting excited if you've got season tickets now for your team, because now you have a much better idea of what days you're going to need off or however you want to go about it. Now you can get excited knowing exactly when your team's going to be playing. So, again, like you said it best, it was an early Christmas gift from the Canadian Football League. So, thank you, CFL. That's pretty awesome.
And props to Trevor Hardy, by the way, who he got slack. Gee, from a commentator or newspaper guy in Saskatchewan. Gee, what a surprise! Props to him and his team, if he has one, for putting together the CFL schedule. I dare say so quickly. I'd love to get him on the show, maybe in the off season, to find out exactly what it takes to be the CFL schedule guru. But we'll see if we can get that done. But more to the schedule itself. As I tweeted out, Cliff, I was thanking the CFL schedule gods that the Alouettes only have one home Thursday game, period. Oh, I got to finish from a sentence, period.
Yeah, I'm extremely excited about that too, because, again, I felt we've had far too many Thursday night games. I understand the Canadian Football League really wants to make Thursday night football a thing, even though we don't really like it all that much. We love our CFL football, but Thursday nights, it's really not. And the fact that when you got 5 out of your 9 home games, not counting the preseason, on a Thursday night, if you're living in the city itself, it's fine. But if you're living outside of the city, you're not going to take essentially 2 days off just to go watch a football game, especially if it's not good football, which unfortunately the Alouettes haven't been providing their fans for quite some time. But now you've got Friday night football. Most of our games are Friday nights. The preseason game is on a Saturday afternoon. I'm floored and pleasantly surprised, because I have said for years, the best way to get people excited and interested in football, you've got to appeal to these casual fans. You got to get them interested and get them. You got to help sell the game to them. And I think the best way to do it, honestly, truly, take the preseason game, put it on a Saturday afternoon. I'm personally of the opinion you should make tickets. You shouldn't have to. It shouldn't be included in the season ticket package. It should be open to everybody. Make it like an open house. Like, throw it out there. $20, $25. First come, first serve. You get the full experience. You get see everything. And then at the end of it, I wouldn't be surprised to see people who are like, you know what? I had a blast doing this. This was a lot of fun. Yeah, I'm ready to jump on board. Where do I get season tickets at?
Yeah, no, I know. I was floored too, and did a little check. I mean, since the team has come back in 96, Cliff, I mean, this having a preseason game on a weekend is very rare. Very, and I'd really go back into the stats look up for this type of thing. I mean, it's only our third preseason game on a Saturday in team history since 96. I mean, the last one was back in 2010, and prior to that, it was prior to that was 2003. So, I don't care. I'll take a Saturday afternoon game, even though it is preseason, for sure. Well,
absolutely. In fact, the last time the Alouettes played preseason games, period, on a Saturday would be that game in Quebec City. But although that was technically the Ottawa Red Blacks preseason game.
Right, right.
And then a couple of years before that, playing in Hamilton at Ron Joy Stadium, where the University of McMaster plays their football games.
Right. Well, yeah. I mean, but obviously the one I'm talking about is at home. So it's.
Oh, no, I know what you're saying. It's just that. That's to me, that's what makes it enjoyable, and that's the way it should be. Like Friday night, Saturday afternoon, that's when the preseason game should be, quite frankly, because it's got to lead into the weekend. And again, people are free on the weekends, and I never bought this excuse about, oh, like people are going up to the cottage and people are going out of town and all that. Like, yes, some people are doing that, but I still think, again, Thursday night football. Like Thursday, like people still work during the summertime. I mean, not everybody's off. And like, once again, people aren't going to make – it's not a destination to take time off to go watch the Alouettes play. So I personally never understood this this fascination with having all your preseason games on a Thursday evening.
Yeah, horrible.
So now having it on a Saturday, though, I think people are going to be really excited. I have to believe that. Promote it right. Get people excited. And as long as you're not trying to – treat this like a regular season game, price-wise, trying to make a profit off of it.
Yeah.
I say make it like an open house. Open it up to everybody. Make the tickets affordable. Get people in there and get them excited. Start selling the game that way to people. That's, in my opinion, that's the best way to get people hooked.
They did already. I mean, they already have the 3-game package advertisements out after the schedule came out. So I guess they've been working on this for a while. Very interesting, too, by the way. For the first time since 2014, Cliff, where we had no Thursday game, that's the last time we had no Thursday home games at all. And 96, 97, and 03 was the last time that we had one. So after that, and everybody knows if you've been listening to the show, the Alouettes, since they've returned in 96, have had the most Thursday games in the league, bar none. Home games, bar none. There's nobody even close. Nobody even close. So this was a pleasant surprise, and it's – I haven't heard much rumbling of negativity about the games. I mean, overall, league-wide also. It just seems that as Bernard Aslan, who is, you know, the guy that we spoke with, he's the VP of marketing with the Alouettes. As he said, they listened to what the fans wanted when it came to the home games. And it shows Friday games now.
Mm-hmm.
And I'm happy with that. Very interesting too, by the way, for the, I'd have to go back and check, but there is now a Thanksgiving Day Monday doubleheader. The Alouettes open the Turkey Day Madness, and it closes with another game. And I'd have to go back and check if that's ever happened. So it's, they've created another must watch TV event during the season. Now, of the games that you have seen, obviously we play the same teams. We only have one back-to-back, home-and-home series is at the end of the season with Toronto. What is your game that you are looking at specifically on the roster, on the schedule that sticks out to you the most? Now, I will start off immediately by saying that with the Owls, and we know the Owls have not had a very good time when it goes to going out to Vancouver to play the Lions. To me, it's the opening game of the season. They're playing at BC to open the season.
They are, and even though it's a Saturday night game, essentially, like they'll be playing at 7 p.m. Pacific time, which is 10 p.m. Eastern time.
Right.
I think it's going to be great to get that West Coast trip out of the way right away. I mean, unfortunately, the Alouettes have not had the best record out east. They've only won twice in this millennium. So I'm pretty excited to see how that's going to work out. I think it's going to be awesome. And I would really like to see just fans get excited about this game. Maybe not everybody pile into an airplane and fly out to Vancouver to go watch the game, although that would be pretty cool in and of itself.
It would be cool.
But maybe a watch party. Maybe this is something that the LOS can look at doing. They tried that once, and there wasn't a huge response for it. But I can't help but wonder if you – once again, it's all about the marketing. And if you get people excited about this product once again, get the idea of them following the team on the road, whether it's them going out to these stadiums to see the team on the road, or Saturday night, come out to insert bar name here – watch your Alouettes play on the road and get excited about it again.
Now, looking at the schedule, I'm going to assume we've not reached out to the Alouettes yet, but I would assume that the fan train fan bus game will be in Ottawa this year. It's Saturday, August 11th at 8 p.m. I'm guessing that will be the game because to me that seems to be the most advantageous. And I don't know how popular the last one was, considering it was on a Wednesday. They have Toronto too, where maybe they could do their fan plane game in October because a 4 p.m. start at Toronto.
But I'm truly of the opinion though, if you're going to do these fan plane games, like flying to Hamilton and Toronto is cool and all, but like this is where you would really have to take advantage of a West Coast team or is like going further west. Like I'm of the opinion like. Make it. I would even say like the first game against the Riders would be a great time to do it.
But
like,
cool too. That's a Saturday. You're right. Yeah, I agree with you on that one. Actually, 7 p.m. local start.
Even if you're only like again, if they're using the Alouettes charter plane, which mostly is for the staff and everything like that, you know what? If there's enough interest, if enough people are down for it, then get another plane. I know that a lot of people were kind of disappointed with the fan plane last year because essentially. How it worked out was, yeah, you flew to Toronto for the day and back, but you didn't necessarily fly with the players. Like, it didn't have that same feel as the fan train did. So I know that there were quite a few fans that took advantage of the fan plane and didn't quite have that experience that they were looking for.
Of course, they didn't get the experience either because they got their asses handed to them.
The game itself. The game is the game, but I'm talking about, like, the actual experience being with the players and everything like that. Like, I would like to see, like, The Ottawa Redblacks actually did this. I think it was their second year. They rented a plane and they had something like 20 fans, if I'm not mistaken, that joined. They were able to join the team, fly out there, spend the night in Regina, watch the game, and then fly back that night after the game. And everyone I had spoken to about that had said it was an amazing trip and a little pricey, but definitely well worth it. So I really think the Alouettes, if they're smart, should be willing to consider something like that. And if they don't use their actual charter plane for the one time, get a big enough plane that you can put all the players, your staff, everything like that, along with a select number of fans, I think that would be one hell of an experience. And get people, again, this would help get people more excited about seeing the Alouettes on the road.
Yeah. So we'll have to see what the Owls do. I said, if for our next off-season special, we'll make sure that I'll reach out to the Alouettes and see if we can get some more information for you, the fans, and try to find out what's what when it comes to these to the fan experience games. I guess the away games, the fan away games. So, before we move on to the head coaching thing, because that's obviously to me that's the biggest thing, the biggest story. Any other things that stand out to you the most when it comes to the schedule?
I mean, it seems, for the most part, fairly balanced. I know a few folks had gone through it statistically, and they say it's actually a fairly tough schedule for the Alouettes. And again, we'll let the players decide if it's really all that tough. Honestly, though, I'm looking at it strictly from a fan's perspective, and I've got to say, I am not mad at the schedule at all. I mean, I'm extremely happy that the number of Thursday night games are down considerably. I think there's, from what I can see, there's a pretty good balance. I think the three bye weeks that we have now as a result, it definitely makes things a little bit interesting. And it's just going to take a little getting used to, because now it's not necessarily going to be, is it June yet? Now you're thinking, is it late May yet? Because training camps could be starting a lot sooner as a result, because the first preseason game is in May. So this whole is it June yet thing almost becomes obsolete.
Oh, yeah. One day within May. One day.
It's still in May.
bye weeks in 2018 are in weeks 5, 13, and 18. And we were able to confirm from Steve Daniel that overall for the CFL, Cliff, this will be the earliest start ever for the CFL. So by one day, but still.
Well, still?
Still. So is it June yet?
Is it late May yet? Is it May 31st yet?
Yeah. The big news, over the past month, we've been seeing the names come in and come in and out of the media and on social media and stuff like that. For who is in line to be our new head coach, and we were talking about it in our season-ending episode. If you haven't heard that, you can go back and listen to it. But we were, to me, this choice of Mike Sherman was not only a surprise, but it actually made me quite happy, because it is possibly a return to what the Owls did with Mark Trestman. Going with somebody who literally has no experience at all in the CFL as a head coach, and look what he's done. Now, I'm sure some of you are saying, well, what about Dan Hawkins? Dan Hawkins doesn't count in any way, shape, or form.
I swear, that name is like herpes for Alouettes fans. You just can't get rid of it.
Yes, it's like
it's stuck with you forever. We gotta wear that forever.
It's like luggage. And watching Mike Sherman's press conference, by the way, very well done, I think, by the Owls. By the way, I want to thank Serge, my ticket representative. He called me 4 o'clock the day before the press release, the presser, Cliff, and he invited me to go to attend the press conference for the new head coach. If I'd been told maybe 12 hours earlier, I might have been able to go. But I want to thank the Owls for thinking of me, and you know, being at a press conference like that would have been pretty cool. But I was there. One of the things that stood out the most, not only is how well spoken he was, I liked the way he talked. I mean, it's funny. I did this and I went back and I watched, because it is on YouTube, the Dan Hawkins experiment. that press conference is still on YouTube. And I watched the difference between the two, and it's like night and day. He is more, Mike, to me, Sherman is more equal to Trestman than he would be to Dan Hawkins, just by how well-spoken he is. He actually answered the questions that came from the media, unlike Dan Hawkins. I mean, from what was your, first when you heard the name, Cliff, and who it was going to be, because it came out so late, what was your thought on the choice, and then what you saw on the press conference?
Well, and going back a little bit, like just thinking about the names that were bandied about as far as potential head coaches go, mm-hmm. and essentially those names of people that were being interviewed and being told that, no, you're not going to be the head coach, or they're withdrawing their name from the competition And I got to tell you, my head was spinning just thinking about the fact that all these really good potential coaches decided that, no, we didn't want to be a part of this. And I couldn't help but wonder at the time, and I've been on a couple of podcasts to talk about this, and I keep asking myself, what the heck is going on in these interviews? Like, what questions are being asked of these guys? And is it based on that, based on whether ownership is having a say in things or whether it's just working for Cavis Reed? I couldn't help but wonder if a lot of these guys were just like, you know what? Nah, I don't want to be a part of this. I don't want to be associated with this organization. And truth be told, I couldn't blame them. So I was really concerned that with the time dwindling away, because Cavis had said that he wanted to have his head coach named by mid-December.
That's right.
And, well, essentially, we're past mid-December at this point.
Nah. I had a great analogy, by the way, because there are 30 days in December.
It's 31.
31, sorry, 31. Technically, when they announced it, if you break it down, it's broken down by tens. Technically, it's still mid-December.
That's fair. But, yeah, this was some of the names that were left after people had withdrawn their candidacy or, for whatever reason, being told that they were not going to be joining the Alouettes. Mm-hmm. I looked at some of the names that were left, and I started cringing because some of these names were just absolutely horrendous. And the idea that these guys would merit a head coaching position, much less the head coaching position with the Alouettes, like, it just didn't bode well. And again, this was just another example of just how bad things have gotten here with the Alouettes, and it's disheartening really when you think about it. But then the news came out that the possibility of a Mike Sherman was involved, and
this was like less than 24 hours before.
Yeah, and I'm sitting there like, Mike, really? And it was so unbelievable that I'd be like, oh, this can't be. It just doesn't seem right. And lo and behold, yeah, Mike Sherman is going to be named the Alouettes head coach. I'm like, wow, that's really something. And I was kind of glad to be so busy with work that I just didn't have a chance to really think about it right away. And again, I completely understand where a lot of people were thinking, like, depending on who you ask, this is either going to be a Mark Trestman, Marv Levy type hire, or Dan Hawkins, Bart Andrus kind of hire. And essentially, we wouldn't know until afterwards. But like you, rewatching the press conference, I did come away fairly impressed with what I had to hear from him. He sounded contrite. He sounded humble about it. I think he realizes that it's not going to be an easy job. I think if this organization really does believe in him and is willing to give him the chance to really prove himself in the Canadian Football League, I mean, I think as fans and supporters of this organization, I think we owe it to him to at least give him a chance. My concerns, well, I've got a couple of concerns, quite frankly. His age, for one thing. I mean, this is a young man's game for sure. You've got to be able to relate to your players, and I'm not 100% sure just how well a 63-year-old man can really truly relate to younger players. And believe me, this Alouettes team, even though they're technically, as of right now, the oldest team in the Canadian Football League, they are going to get a lot younger.
Yeah.
I can promise you that.
Yeah.
So it's being able to relate to these players is something that I'm a little concerned about. But think about it. I mean, he's only a couple of years older than Mark Trestman, and he seems to do a very good job of relating to his players no matter what. So it's one of those things where don't let age get in the way. Like, don't let someone's age dictate. Like, it's almost like don't judge a book by its cover. That's how I would sort of take it. So I want to go in with that mindset. And I think the other thing too is he sort of realizes that he's going to have to start paying attention to all kinds of things, specifically who he hires as his staff. Like, he has to hire people that really know Canadian football. There's no question about that. Like, you can't bring in other NFL types and expect it to work, because I mean, his job there essentially is to mold men into winners, but you got to know your football too. And yeah, even though I hate to use this Dan Hawkins phrase, but football is football. For the most part, it is. But there's still a lot of nuances to the Canadian game. And he's got to make sure, Sherman, that he gets the right staff in place. And I really, truly hope that the Alouettes aren't forcing him to keep anybody from the 2017 staff. I mean, if he really, truly thinks that these coaches can contribute something, okay, well, then give him the benefit of the doubt. But I've said it before, and I'll say it again. My opinion, whoever was a coach in 2017 for the Alouettes cannot be a coach for the Alouettes in 2018. So I guess we'll see what Sherman has to come up with as far as the staff goes. I just really, truly hope that Kavis and the Wettenhall family are really going to let him do his job and really let him run the team as he sees fit.
Yeah. I've heard some interesting names coming across the wire when it comes to who may be joining him on his staff. So we'll have to let that fester a little bit more. One of the few things that really intrigued me too, by the way, Cliff, is that they actually mentioned it. Even though we were hearing about all these different names over the past month or so, Sherman really had the job a month ago. From what I heard during the press conference, the questions that were asked, is that Sherman was really in the mix for so long that, A, not only was Kavis able to go down and see Sherman at his home in Massachusetts, in Cape Cod, but also Sherman was able to come up to the city twice, come to Montreal twice. So it looks like, even though all these names were being thrown around, that he seemed to have been the person that they were going to. Now, also, the other thing that piqued my interest was that, according to Kavis, he said that a grand total of 15 people were interviewed for the head coaching job. And one of the things that stuck out, and it's just from my history of being a football fan and the sports that I watched, he even said that they interviewed an arena football coach. So they really ran the table on all the different choices that they had, from NCAA to CIS to on who they were going to choose as their head coach. So maybe all these other names that were being thrown around, as I said, was just that. They're being thrown around. They were still bringing them in. They thought that they had their guy in Sherman. When you hear a coach tell you of what he thought of the team, because he already had seen tape on the team from 2017, and what he felt the team was not doing correct, that shows that is a coach that seems to be knowing what he's doing.
And so one thing that I took away from that more than anything else is the fact that he took ownership right away of the team. Like he said, and I'm paraphrasing here, I saw the tape, we did a lot of things that didn't work, and we have to fix that. So right away, this is his team. Like he, in his mind, is starting to think, these are my Alouettes, I have to do what's right. I've got to put the work in to make this team a proud franchise once again. And I gotta say, it wasn't with bravado. It wasn't with like the Dan Hopkins-esque bluster or anything like that. Like it just really came across as, I know I have a job to do. I was hired to do this job, and I'm going to do everything in my power to do it right. So I got to admit, it's very refreshing to hear that. I mean, unfortunately, that was also tempered with Kavis, and bless his heart, I really do like the guy, but my word, when he comes out with talking about the Matrix once again and things are being done holistically, and he keeps using all these – someone actually called it a word salad, which I thought was probably the best way to describe it. You're using a lot of words to say nothing. And like Kavis, whoever keeps putting a microphone in front of Kavis needs to kick in the ass, because like, please don't. Please stop. Just don't talk, please.
Let Kavis be in the background this year. Let's let Sherman do all the talking, please. Because remember, I think you may have been like me. At one point, we felt, please don't tell me that when they announced the new head coach, it's going to be Kavis Reed.
I tell you,
it seemed like.
Well, and listen, if you were to go on social media these past few weeks, like, again, Kavis is just getting roasted left, right, and center for not hiring, you know, Devon Claybrooks or Mark Washington or, God help, even Tommy Condell. Like, and again, any of one of those guys would have been a great hire, but the two out of those three guys pulled their name out of the coaching ring right away and said, no, I don't want to be a part of this, essentially. And yeah, it all came down. Like it always does with Kavis, unfortunately, he's there to absorb the body blows. Like, it's all about the consequences, right. And all that.
And
so
another thing I liked about Sherman too is that in his thing, he actually stated, I will have no problem talking to the media. I have no problem talking to the fans. I'm thinking, when do you hear a coach say that? To include the fans as part of that.
It's pretty rare. I'll tell you that right now.
Bodes well for us.
Well, and like I said, we've been blessed because, like I said, I had a really great relationship with Jim Popp. I still talk to him every now and again, but I don't see most coaches really interacting with fans on a regular basis. So to hear something like that is definitely encouraging. I think as an LOS fan, you got to feel good knowing that your coach is wanting to work for you and is willing to speak with you and maybe explain things that maybe you don't understand. I mean, again, we won't really know a whole lot of what we're going to see until training camp. So, I mean, a lot of this is just speculation. But when you hear stuff like that, I mean, it definitely – you feel good knowing that. You feel like, okay, this is a guy that – listen, he may not solve all the problems for the Alouettes, but he's at least willing to put the work in and not just collect a paycheck. So, you know what? I can't help but feel encouraged by this. I mean, I'm not going to go out and say that this solves all the problems, but seeing a lot of the reaction and just seeing other football people take note of this as well and it being positive is – it's difficult to ignore that. So you know me. I'm always going to try and be as positive as I can about this Alouettes organization. I'm going into this with an open mind. I wish Coach Sherman all the best. I really hope – for me, though, the key is going to have to be the staff. He's going to have to put together a solid staff. And like it or not, folks, if he doesn't want to keep Anthony Calvillo, then we can't force him to. So I really hope and pray that the Wettenhall family and Cavis aren't saying to him, well, yeah, we'll give you the job as head coach, but you got to keep this guy. You got to keep that guy. You got to keep AC, who's a legend here. You know, like, it can't be like that. You got to let the coach do his job properly. And if he doesn't feel that Anthony Calvillo belongs on this coaching staff, then you got to be prepared to accept that. And same thing with any of the other coaches as well, because we saw what happened last year, losing 11 games in a row to end the season, essentially. That's not fun. And if you're just going to saddle your head coach with essentially the same coaching staff, just a different guy calling the shots, what's going to change? As far as I'm concerned, nothing. So I think now is a new opportunity to hit the reset button, start all over again. We don't know too much about this guy yet. We only know what he's brought to other teams in the past, and it's been mostly positive. So all we can do is hope and pray that that same positivity, that same coaching acumen, he brings that to the Alouettes and does what he has to do to make this team a great one again.
Yeah, I'm optimistic. I mean, yeah, you have to be after how the season ended last year. You have to be. So, again, it depends on where they're going to have minicamp. If they're going to have minicamp again in Florida, I think that will show us a few things too. Because hopefully by then, with free agency done, we will have we'll know who our quarterbacks will be, who the rest of the his staff will be, and then we'll go from there. So
now I got to ask you.
Yeah.
During the presser, Sherman did talk about the starting quarterback, and he said that position's up for grabs. Like, he pretty much went the exact opposite route that Mark Trestman did when for his first press conference for the Argonauts, when he basically said Ricky Ray is our starting quarterback for 2017. Sherman has not come out and said that Darian Durant is the starting quarterback in 2018.
No.
What are your thoughts on that?
Well, my thought is you go back to what Trestman did when he was with the Alouettes, and almost 10 years to the day, by the way, that he got hired. At the time, it was AC. No problem. Trestman there. It was Ricky. There's no question. Unfortunately, in Montreal, Cliff, there are questions. There are a lot of questions when it comes to quarterbacks. I mean, we still have free agency to deal with. There are some quarterbacks that are out there. Some are not anymore.
Mm-hmm.
But it's just a matter of who will be on the roster as quarterbacks and how many will be proven CFL quarterbacks. I mean, I like what we saw at the end of the year with our backups, but we need a starter. It didn't surprise me. It really didn't that he didn't say who our starting quarterback was going to be, because it is very possible that Durant has already been told that you may not be the starter. And you know, he wants to make the choice of who is going to be his starter. So that's what I said. That all comes about to mini camp, to training camp, free agency, Zach Caleros, maybe. I don't know. That's the thing. There are still some names out there. And remember, the Owls have the number one pick in the CFL draft. There could easily be some wheeling and dealing, which has happened already, as we saw in the short offseason already, with the trade to Toronto, mm-hmm. you know, from Edmonton, for a very possible coveted free agent quarterback. Mm-hmm. So, does it concern me? No. Did it surprise me? Not really. No, this is a man who, yes, he's the new head coach. He needs to look at some more. He needs to look at film. He needs to make the call himself. So, again, the offseason will be very interesting, because, I said, we still have free agency to come.
Yeah. Another thing to also take into consideration, too, is apparently Darren Durant is owed a bonus in January. And typically in the past, Montreal Alouettes have not been shy of cutting players that are due a hefty bonus if they don't feel that they're a right fit in the organization. So I'd be really curious. Like, Kavis Reid made quite the move in getting Darren Durant to the Alouettes. I can't help but wonder, like, does he still have, based on what he saw in 2017, does he still have enough faith that perhaps last year was just a blip on the radar for Darren Durant? Or is he now going to take a look at his 35-year-old, almost 36-year-old quarterback and the body of work that was produced last season and say, you know what, pal, I'm sorry, unless you're willing to take a major hometown discount, even though this isn't really your hometown, if you're not willing to renegotiate, then we just may have to show you the door.
Oh, well.
I think that could be a very interesting thing, especially if, depending on what Coach Sherman sees of the tape so far, because that's really all he has to go on when it comes to Darren Durant, because you can't answer that question that was asked to him yesterday. Like, there's nothing that Darren Durant did last season that would solidify him as the 2018 game one starter. Like you said, it's up for grabs, and it's true. Because we did see, like you said, the young backups, they got some playing action, and perhaps they're gonna be given a chance to shine. Perhaps the Alouettes make a deal and they bring in a more established quarterback to go along with those rookies, or the whole Darren Durant thing. It's a very interesting variable, and I'm curious to see over the next few weeks just how that's going to play out.
Yeah, there's still too much time. There's still too much time between now and kickoff. So, as I said, we will be revisiting this. We got the draft coming up. We got free agency. We got to talk about, you know, more about player acquisitions, etc. Now, speaking of, before we finish up and head off for the holidays, I know you wanted to mention specifically about the trade that the Alouettes did do.
Mm-hmm. Because it's not only the Argos and the Eskimos that can go around making trades. No, the Alouettes decided they wanted to get in a little bit on this trading action to kick off the holiday season. A couple weeks ago, the Alouettes made a move with the BC Lions. The Owls shipped off defensive end Gabriel Napton to the Lions in exchange for wide receiver / kick returner Chris Williams. Now, I got to say, that's I found that to be a very interesting trade.
I did, too.
It makes me think, though, that there's going to be another change coming for the Alouettes, specifically in the kick-returning role, because Chris Williams is a lot younger than Stephon Logan. And while I'm still very much of the belief that TJ Graham should be the future for the Alouettes when it comes to kick-returning, this now proves to be a very interesting look, because what if you have both TJ Graham and Chris Williams returning kicks for the Alouettes? I got to tell you, that's pretty exciting. I think Williams could be a good mentor for TJ Graham. Not to say that Stephon Logan couldn't, but I'm definitely of the opinion, too, that while Logan still has some pretty good wheels, he has unfortunately lost a step. And again, he's going to be 37 when training camp starts.
And he owns all the Alouettes return record. I mean, I'm just, the only thing I'm worried about Chris Williams, though, is the injury. That's the only thing that scares me. Mm-hmm. It did cut short his season last year. I understand, and as soon as I heard about the trade, I said, yeah, there's something to do with Stephon Logan. Has to be.
Yeah, because I don't think that Williams will be necessarily one of the feature receivers in the lineup for the Alouettes.
I agree.
I definitely see it more as a special teams role, specifically kick returning, because he's still pretty quick, Chris Williams. I mean, yes, he did have that ACL injury. As you said, it did affect him coming back, and he didn't quite have that form last year that a lot of people have come to expect from him. But now that he's had a chance to sort of work out the kinks a little bit, he'll be in a new environment. Again, if we hire a really great special teams coach that can take advantage of having a couple of speedsters like Chris Williams and TJ Graham, I'm personally excited to see what Chris Williams can do in an Alouettes uniform. It's unfortunate we had to give up a Gabriel Napton, because even though he didn't have the best year last year, guy's still a beast. The guy is still – he's just entering his prime now as far as being a top-notch football player. So BC Lions fans should be pretty excited to be able to have someone like that on their defensive line. But as always is with trades, in order to get something, you have to give up something. So as unfortunate it is to give up a stud like Gabriel Napton, to me, I would say this is about as even a trade as you can hope for, because I think what the Alouettes are giving up, they'll be able to replace fairly easily, especially in the draft, with the draft coming up, especially being a high draft order of what the Alouettes are now. I have no doubt in my mind that they should be able to find a very talented defensive player to replace a Gabriel Napton. But to have a Chris Williams on your team, if he can get that form back that he had with the Ottawa Redblacks, and even when he was with the Hamilton Tiger Cats, if we can get that Chris Williams playing for us come I guess mid-May now is when training camp will start. Mm-hmm. But if we can get that Chris Williams playing for us and returning kicks, I tell you what, folks, that's pretty darn exciting to me.
Should be fun. Well, that's all we have. We appreciate you listening. Again, I don't mind having these special off-season shows. First, Cliff, I want to wish you all the best for this holiday season. Be safe. Weather's going to be very interesting over the next couple of days. They don't know what the hell is going on here in Montreal. But all the best in the holidays. Happy New Year. And obviously, I will be speaking to you before. So it's all the best to you, my friend. And obviously to everybody that's listening to us also, all the best this holiday season from everybody here at the Flight Deck. And we hope that you have a safe and happy holiday season. We will be talking to you very shortly, I'm sure, once we reach 2018. So for everybody
which is only days away. So
only days. Tick tock, tick tock.
So no drinking and driving, folks. That's one thing I got to say. Celebrate the new year with us. We want you back in 2018 listening to this show, because we're doing, like Tim said, we're going to be doing episodes during this off season. So we want you here listening to us, downloading us. So
if you have to,
no drinking and driving.
Yeah, take an Uber, take Nez Rouge or Red Nose, depending on which part of the country you're in, and be safe. So we'll talk to you guys very soon. So for everybody here at Alouettes Flight Deck, for Cliffy D, I'm Tim Capper. We're on Final Approach. Take off to the great white north. Take off. It's a beauty way to go. Take off to the great white north.
Thanks for listening. Find more great shows like this at CF Pod Network on Twitter.